From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Front page of the Washington Post this morning, Vice President Joe Biden leaning in, leading toward running for president more than earlier, toward challenging Hillary Clinton, who's seen as stumbling toward butting heads with Bernie Sanders, who's been on a tear. A year ago, just months ago, all those headlines would have seemed wild. Not now. This hour on Point, the Democrats and their 2016 options. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Democrats, what do you want? Who do you want and why? Do you want Biden in? And Republicans, what do you see? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Suddenly the talk all over is about Joe Biden maybe getting into this race. Let's hear a little bit. Hillary Clinton's been out there. She rolled out her first TV campaign commercials earlier this month. Both of them focused on her mom, Dorothy. Had it tough when she was young. Here's Clinton's ad.
I think about all the Dorothys all over America who fight for their families, who never give up. That's why I'm doing this. That's why I've always done this. For all the Dorothys.
Hillary Clinton for all the Dorothys there. Bernie Sanders, he's been pushing those numbers into this, every venue that he's got, and his poll numbers up for months now. Here he was in Columbia, South Carolina. He kicked off his stump speech calling for political revolution.
No one takes seriously the idea that maybe, just maybe, we need a political revolution in America. Maybe, just maybe, something is wrong when almost all of the new income is going to the top 1%.
And maybe you'll be hearing more from this guy soon. Here's Joe Biden back in 2012 saying Americans fought through the recession.
You didn't lose faith. You fought back. You didn't give up. You got up. You're the ones. The American people, you're the ones. You're the reason why we are still better positioned than any country in the world to lead the 21st century. You never quit on America, and you deserve a president who will never quit on you.
Is it time for more of that? And what's going on with the Democratic field? We've got a great panel with us today. Ann Guerin is national political correspondent covering the Hillary Clinton campaign for The Washington Post. Joins us from Washington. Ann, welcome. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you. Hi, Tom.
Hi. And from Washington, Laura Meckler, political reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Laura, great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, too.
And from Washington, Peter Hart, top Democratic public opinion expert, founder of Hart Research Associates. National Journal calls him probably the foremost Washington pollster for the Democratic Party and its centrist candidates, not affiliated, not yet at least, with any of the Democratic campaigns. Peter Hart, welcome back. Great to have you here.
Thanks very much, Tom.
And let me come first to you. You've got Dan Baltz on your front page this morning saying that the vice president is now leaning more toward running than any time earlier this summer. What is pushing Biden toward this, if that's where he's headed?
I think two things are pushing Biden to far more seriously consider entering the race than he had been and that really anyone could foresee. As my colleague Dan Baltz reports, he sees a couple of things happening. He sees a potential opening in Biden sees a potential opening in the Democratic field. If Hillary continues to be seen as somewhat weakened and as not recovering quickly from the self-inflicted wounds surrounding her email server and all of the related questions happening there. As soon as the FBI got involved in that case, the hackles went up on the back of Democrats' necks everywhere, and people started to get worried, and Joe Biden certainly took notice. I think the other thing he is seeing is the continued disruption and kind of Wild West aspect of the Republican field. And that benefits any Democrat, at least it looks to at the moment, and it might make his chances of capitalizing on a late-term entry into the race better than it would be in other years. Late entries generally have not fared well. He has some institutional advantages because of his high name ID and his current position as the vice president. He can sort of be the natural inheritor of the Obama White House and not have to do a lot of the structural institutional things that an outside candidate would do. But the hurdles are still high. And then, as Dan reported, there's also the personal question, even more perhaps than the potential structural barriers and the potential awkwardness of challenging Hillary so late. There's the question of whether Joe Biden believes that his family is up for this so soon after the death of his son.
Laura Meckler, how do you see this? Do you see this as a Joe Biden ambition moment or a Joe Biden save the party moment because he or others believe that Hillary somehow, despite everything, has as Ann puts it, self-inflicted wounds now that will really get in her way?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I mean, keep in mind, Joe Biden has long wanted to be president. He ran twice on his own. You know, we remember he did not do very well. Of course, he was not a sitting vice president at the time. But he has long wanted to be president. So the idea that he has ambition for this job, I don't think is any secret. I think that he would certainly like the job if it was offered to him, no doubt about that. So then the question becomes, does he think he can win? I think he thinks he would do a good job. He thinks he would be what the country needs. The question is, can he get it or not? And that's where the calculations come regarding Hillary Clinton, who is obviously so far ahead of him right now in organization, in fundraising, in terms of supporters within the party. She, for all of her troubles, she's way ahead. So the question is, are those problems that she's facing, are they significant enough? Are they that really are either going to weaken her to the point that he could take advantage of it, or the what you were alluding to, the idea that she might just completely implode and then the party will need somebody to step in, the presumption being that Bernie Sanders, while very, very popular within certain part of the Democratic Party, does not have the kind of appeal that could go the distance in a general election.
So he's been on a big roll lately. Peter Hart, maybe this is about Hillary in trouble. Maybe this is about Joe Biden ambition. As Laura says, it's got to be about both. But what do you see dominating? She has such a lead in fundraising. She's got structure, infrastructure all over the place. Is this Joe Biden thinking she is imploding, and this is my chance? I'm 72 years old. Yes, I only got 1% of the vote in the Iowa caucuses in 08, but down she's going. Bernie won't be the one. It's my time.
I think, to begin with, obviously, Hillary's had a very bad time at this stage of the game. And I don't think you can look in national polls, which we do for NBC and the Wall Street Journal, but it really comes down to those are trailing indicators rather than leading indicators, and her numbers have declined. What happens here, as much as anything else, is Joe Biden as a candidate is what I call the happier warrior. He's somebody who's upbeat. He's somebody who brings that exuberance to everything that he does. And particularly in terms of a constituency in a general election, he has the ability to appeal to those old Reagan Democrats, the male voter, the blue-collar voter, the union voter, the Catholic voter. All of those, he is stronger than Hillary Clinton is. Against that, obviously, is where's the opening in the field? And I think that's going to be his tougher choice in terms of this, because if Bernie Sanders has cemented the left, then there has to be a constituency which says Joe Biden's the guy. And if Joe Biden is the guy, then he has to either be able to move with the minorities, which I believe are going to be strongly with Hillary, or with women voters. And I think those are two tough constituencies for Joe Biden. So I think you look in part at the broad dynamic, but more importantly, you look at what's the horse race look like? Where's the opening within the field? And unless, as you say, Tom, there's an implosion of some type, it just gives him, Joe Biden, a much tougher challenge to figure out how he threads his way through this.
So, Ann, do you see that opening in the field that Peter Hart has trouble spotting, or is the Biden interest premised on a Hillary Clinton implosion?
Well, I think to the extent that, Biden is really slicing and dicing the electorate here, he's going to have he's going to run into the same structural questions and problems that, Peter Hart just identified. Where exactly is the Joe Biden coalition if the race remains basically where it is now, with Hillary comfortably ahead, head-to-head against most Republicans in most polls, comfortably ahead of Sanders in, Iowa, somewhat upside down in some polls, or neck and neck in others with Sanders in New Hampshire. If things stay more or less at that stasis, and she doesn't get worse on the email question, and her polling doesn't get worse over the next month or so, which is the time frame that, Biden has set for himself, then I think he has a pretty tough head-scratching moment here where, as Peter Hart said, there it's difficult to see how this, coalition comes together at this late date that gives him enough of a reason to say that he can challenge her. If, however, she really falls apart and there's an institutional cleaving within the Democratic Party that says, hey, wait a minute, we picked the wrong horse here, then I think he has a moment.
Does it all depend, Laura, on having a moment? And will Joe Biden know that? He says he'll decide by the end of summer. What is that, September 23rd, formally? Her Benghazi hearings aren't until October. Is he going to have to get in before he knows if Hillary's campaign is really in trouble over the email servers or not?
Well, you know, this isn't whether her campaign is in trouble or not. There's not like a date that we're going to know. Okay, we know by now. This is an ongoing process. So at some point, he's going to have to make a decision. I think most people think his true deadline is mid-October when the first Democratic debate is scheduled.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Democrats and their 2016 options. Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, maybe Joe Biden, asking what, who Democrats want and why, with Laura Meckler of The Wall Street Journal and Guerin of The Washington Post. Peter Hart, big Democratic public opinion pollster and expert, is with us out of Washington as well. Here was Hillary Clinton. Town hall meeting in Nevada last week seemed to have a juicy target in the recent GOP debate.
I don't know how many of you watched that debate. 17 candidates, 4 hours, I think it was. Not one word about college affordability. Not one word about equal pay for equal work for women. Not one word about dealing with criminal justice and mass incarceration and that Black Lives Matter.
But is it going to be about them or is it going to be about her? That's the question. Bernie Sanders been whipping up crowds all over, really going after Wall Street. Here he was in Columbia, South Carolina last week.
When we use words like greed and recklessness and arrogance and dishonesty, we are providing only some of the adjectives to describe Wall Street. All of you know. That as a result of the greed and recklessness of Wall Street, our economy was brought to its knees. Millions of people lost their jobs, their houses, and their life savings.
Bernie Sanders, and he has climbed and climbed in the polls. And then there's this guy. Here was Joe Biden, vice president, in January addressing House Democrats at the party's retreat in Philadelphia, challenging, Joe Biden was there, the GOP's definition of job creators.
The job creators were my father, who sold the automobiles that was made, who managed the companies, my uncle who worked in a line. The people who are out there are the job creators, were the ones who took the product made it, sold it, purchased it. Since when did stockholders become the job creators?
So maybe he's in. Washington Post says he's leaning that way. But Ann Guerin, I've also got your James Holman here in Power Post this morning, ticking off 8 reasons that it's a long shot for Joe Biden. Emotional toll on his family. New scrutiny. Clinton's would punch back hard, and he's got things they could punch at. His gaffes. Joe being Joe, not as cool when you're a candidate. chance of humiliation. He did only get 1% in Iowa in 2008. Doesn't want to do that again. Can't compete dollar for dollar with the Clintons on fundraising. Progressives by no means certain to rally around Joe Biden. Awkward for the White House, your colleague there says. And Biden could be blamed for costing Democrats the White House if he bloodies Hillary. That's a pretty long list, Ann.
Yeah, for sure. And that last one shouldn't be underestimated. Biden is a favorite of the institutional party, in part because he can give speeches like the one you played there. Evocative, smart, warm, makes people feel good about being Democrats, and really harkens to a lot of the heyday of Democratic spirit, really, blue collar, and very sort of, I don't want to use the word nationalist in the pejorative sense, but it's really about a good, warm feeling about being a Democrat in America. And he can do that. But all those other things that James Homan identified are true. And one of the big ones that I see, one of the big impediments I see for Biden is the fundraising factor. It's sort of a big bummer to go from warm and fuzzy Joe Biden warm hug, as you said, to, man, could he actually raise the money? But it's a pretty big institutional question. The Clintons have been, Hillary Clinton has been out there raising the maximum primary donation of $2,700 since April. She's locked up a lot of that money, and she's locked up a lot of the big donors. Some would break off and support him, but not all.
Laura, this may be where the rubber meets the road. We want to think it's policy and everything else, and of course it is, but this matters. Do you feel the chemistry turning on Hillary in such a way that Joe Biden would see the money out there for him if he signals he's coming in?
Well, I think the way that we assess that is less about sort of how she sort of appears in the press. And I mean, at some point, if the email story gets a lot worse, then you can start drawing some conclusions. But, you need to talk to, and a lot of reporters have been doing this, talking to Hillary supporters and figuring out, are there many who would jump over to a Biden campaign? Who would he pull away? And, there are some, and there are some who have never been with her to start with, but I don't think we've yet seen sort of any kind of a tipping point where a lot of people would flip over to his side by any means. The other thing to keep in mind on the fundraising side is that he will have big expenses. He has to, ride around in Air Force Two, and his campaign would have to reimburse the government for the cost of that. That's expensive. This is not just a flying Southwest type, on the seat of your pants type campaign where some insurgents have done, like what Bernie Sanders does, flies commercial. This is, I was on a flight with Bernie Sanders once. We're both, back in the back of the plane in a tiny little seat. Joe Biden can't do that. He's got Air Force One, Air Force Two to pay for.
The implosion scenario may be required for him then. Let's see if we can wrestle this to the ground a little bit. This email, the email server, it's just kept going and going. Here was California governor and past, of course, Democratic presidential candidate himself. This was Jerry Brown on NBC's Meet the Press this weekend, talking about the candidates, saying that continuing uproar around Hillary Clinton's email, call it what you want, a press creation, but it's out there. He said it perplexed him, but that Clinton has to do something big and direct to put those questions to rest.
This email thing, it has kind of a mystique to it. An email is just an utterance in digital form, but it has some kind of dark energy that gets everybody excited. So I don't know how, it's almost like a vampire. She's going to have to find a stake and put it right through the heart of these emails in some way.
Put a stake through the heart of these emails. Peter Hart, can Hillary Clinton do this? And if she can, why hasn't she done it yet? Can she put this to rest?
Well, we don't know what's ahead, but clearly Ruth Marcus wrote an excellent column over the weekend in the Washington Post in which she talks about the challenges and everything that Hillary Clinton has done so far has been incremental, lawyerly, but it really does not provide the sort of reassurance that voters want. But let me come back to your earlier question, which Ann answered so well, and that is there an opening? And I was involved 36 years ago with Edward Kennedy. And if you can remember, Jimmy Carter was in terrible trouble, and it was the energy problems and the gas lines and all of those things. And there was that elixir moment for Edward Kennedy in which he said, I'm in. And the one thing you have to remember is if your best day is the day that you get in, that's not a good position to be in. And Joe Biden is in that elixir moment right now. And what he has to be able to do is rationally think through how is it going to play out. And unless you can see the scenario, essentially you put yourself out on that battlefield, as Edward Kennedy did. And we slogged long and hard. And by the time that we were really in it and winning primaries, that the nomination was not going to be Edward Kennedy's. And so unless you see something that says that Hillary Clinton is going to, in the end, fall apart, or the field is going to change because Bernie Sanders is going to get out, it's a tough calculation to get in there and to win it.
We'll look at those alternatives. We'll look at the potential head-to-heads or head-to-head-to-heads here. Mark in New Britain, Connecticut. Mark, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you, Tom, for having me on. I'm hearing a lot of inside the Beltway analysis here. I just want to take a step back to where the voters are. For one thing, we don't give a flip about the email. Okay, the voters, by and large, are smart enough to see that this is Republican-manufactured rubbish and really don't care about it. Nevertheless, I do think that there is room for Joe Biden to run because an awful lot of us are supporting Hillary Clinton because we don't see a viable alternative that can win next November. I love Bernie Sanders. I love that he's out there speaking truth to power. I don't see him getting over the top in the heartland. I am not real crazy about Hillary Clinton, but I believe she has the staying power. If Joe Biden were to jump in, I think he would snap up half of Hillary Clinton's support before you even knew what happened.
Why, Mark? Why?
Well, because Joe Biden has positions that are closer to Bernie than to Hillary. But he knows how to express them in a more relatable way that doesn't sound like as much like bomb throwing. And I think personally, he's warmer, more relatable, and makes a better connection to people than Hillary Clinton ever did.
Uncle Joe, let's look at that. I mean, I wonder if it were head-to-head, and what about it? You had Chris Cillizza in the Washington Post, your paper, just a couple of ten days ago, saying maybe Hillary just isn't a very good candidate. Now, I don't know about Joe. I mean, he didn't exactly win the White House on his times out either, but he comes across as warm and relatable. That's been somewhat difficult for her. If it were head-to-head on policy, on personality, what does that look like?
Well, head-to-head on policy, it's hard to see a great deal of difference between the two, frankly. I mean, they come from the same general wing of the party, although Biden's working class, blue-collar bona fides are better than hers. But they still represent the left-center-left basic wing of the party and hold many of the same beliefs. They were allies in the Senate and friends. A lot of people think that Biden has been a better vice president than he was a candidate. It's more like being a senator, which he was for decades, and was a powerful and beloved figure in the Senate. He does get to be Uncle Joe here. He wouldn't be Uncle Joe so much on the campaign trail, and certainly not in a debate with Hillary Clinton. She may not have the warm and fuzzies on the stump that he does, but she's a good debater, and he actually has not been a fantastic debater in the past.
What about those two, head-to-head, Laura Meckler? If it's not an implosion scenario around the emails, and Hillary hangs in there, how do you see the chemistry here? If they were all three out on the campaign trail, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden?
I agree with what Anne's analysis on that. I think the biggest difference between Biden and Clinton is stylistic. And I think that's frankly why you kind of see some cheerleading from the press corps for him to getting in, because he's just a lot more fun to cover. He's a lot more interesting in a lot of ways to listen to. He sort of says what he thinks, sometimes gets him in trouble. We like that too. But he's much more, he feel like you're what you see is what you get. He's out there being like a real person and relating to people in their everyday life struggles. It doesn't feel like he's reading from a script. It feels like he's really talking from the heart. I think that is his absolute best asset going into this. On a policy point of view, I disagree with the listener who said that he thinks he's going to basically be a Sanders-type figure. I don't see that. I think he's much closer to Hillary. We'll have to see where he stakes out his positions. But keep in mind, he is the vice president. Anytime, if we all look for situations where Hillary may break or has broken from President Obama, then that's been kind of a little bit of a story. But imagine if the sitting vice president broke with the president, his own administration. That is a much bigger deal. And it'll be harder for him to separate himself from President Obama, for better or for worse. And we know how the president has governed in this sort of center-left way. So I don't think that we're going to see big differences on policy between the two of them.
There's a third Obama term frame that could be put on Joe Biden, for better or worse. Katie in Buffalo, New York. Katie, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. My comment is that I welcome Joe Biden into the race because I'm a moderate, but quite frankly, I've never really been a Clinton supporter. I voted for Bush twice, and then I voted for Obama twice. So I've actually been paying really close attention to the Republicans, trying to find someone who maybe could beat Hillary or who would be tolerable or who would be maybe a better option. So anyone that enters the race and gives more options on the Democratic side, I'm going to listen to. I'm one of those swing voters that both parties want. And so the more people talking, the better, in my opinion.
What's your hesitancy on the Clinton candidacy, Katie?
I just don't find them terribly trustworthy. It's not something tangible. It's just a feeling that I get that when push comes to shove, do I really trust you? And quite frankly, the answer is still no.
Katie, thanks for calling. Peter Hart, what about it? Well, an earlier caller says the server business is all GOP rubbish, quote unquote. But then we've seen polls, and you're a poll guy, out there on Hillary Clinton's integrity, and it does seem to be something of a ding that she's taken there.
Well, it's more than a ding. It's always been there, and it's a challenge for Hillary Clinton. And what you heard with the most recent caller is a sense of connection or a lack of connection. And that's one of her problems, that there isn't the same kind of skill that her husband has. Bill Clinton could ride through many of these things because there was that sort of natural caring and relationship. Hillary Clinton's a lot more formal. She's a lot less warm and fuzzy. And what it comes down to is that Joe Biden has those characteristics. But nonetheless, you have to still come around to where's the constituency. It doesn't appear to me that there's a natural constituency that jumps to Joe Biden, because in all of the state polls that I've looked at, when you put the three candidates together at this stage of the game, Joe Biden's in single digits. And so I don't know how he jumps from single digits up to 30% or gets into that special round where you can say he's the competitive choice. He's a good choice for the media. I don't know how it works in the Democratic primary.
Ryan Lizard with The New Yorker looks at this and says, youth for Biden? No. Gender advantage? He says no. Broad party support? Lizard says no. Lefty cred? We'll look at that. He says money? No. Superior campaigner? No. And yet, there's a lot of attention being paid to Joe Biden's potential interest in getting into this race and the Democratic field overall. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Hi, everybody. Tom here. I'm glad you're joining us for this On Point podcast. Before we get back to the show, I'd like to tell you about another podcast you might enjoy, too, Dear Sugar Radio. Join hosts Cheryl Strayed and Steve Almond as they field questions about love, sex, work, guilt, money, you name it. That's Dear Sugar Radio. You can find it at WBUR.org/Dear Sugar or subscribe on iTunes. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about the Democrats and their 2016 options with Ann Guerin of The Washington Post, Laura Meckler of The Wall Street Journal, Peter Hart, Democratic pollster, public opinion expert, is with us from Hart Research Associates. Here's Hillary Clinton's new ad launched just a couple of days ago, drilling home the theme of income inequality. The ad's called Reshuffle.
When you see that you've got CEOs making 300 times what the average worker's making, you know, the deck is stacked in favor of those at the top. I want it to be back where it was when I came of age, where my mom, who never got to go to college, could see her daughter go to law school. We need to have people believing that their work will be rewarded. So I'm going to do everything I can to try to get that deck reshuffled so being middle class means something again.
Reshuffle with a nice bouncy beat. You want it more intense? Here's Bernie Sanders, South Carolina, on Friday.
Corporate America and the billionaire class are not going to hide their many billions in profits by putting them in the Cayman Islands and in other tax havens. They are going to start paying their fair share of taxes.
And a crowd of more than 5,000 eating it up there. And then Joe Biden, White House yesterday, Press Secretary Josh Earnest fielding lots of questions on whether the president would endorse him, who Barack Obama would come out for. Here was Earnest.
The president has indicated his view that the decision that he made to add Joe Biden to the ticket as his running mate was the smartest decision that he had ever made in politics. And I think that should give you some sense of the president's view of Vice President Biden's aptitude for the top job.
Sounds sort of like maybe an endorsement in waiting, but we don't know. He also named, of course, Hillary Clinton Secretary of State. Norma in Pembroke Pines, Florida. Norma, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you today?
Okay. What do you think, Norma?
Oh, I think that this is all very early speculation, and Joe Biden getting in the race is ridiculous. He's just going to divide everything up a little bit more. Hillary Clinton is the solid candidate. I'm not hearing it from anybody on your show. She is right there on all the issues. She's a woman. She's going to be for women's rights. She's going to be for the middle class, building the middle class. I think if you like Obama, you're going to like her. And that's my opinion.
And the email server, is that going to blow over, Norma?
It's already gone.
Listen to this. This is last week. Already gone. This was Nevada. You know, this is a Fox reporter, Ed Henry, grilling her. She sounds pretty uncomfortable. Just last week, listen in with us, Norma.
But Ed, you're not listening to me. If it were a government account, they would be saying the same thing. The fact.
Either way.
No. First of all, that is not in any way agreed upon.
Norma, does it sound like, as Jerry Brown said, like she's put a stake through the heart of that thing there?
Yes. Yesterday, the State Department said that cleared her of any wrongdoing. So check the internet, and she's strong on the internet.
Hillary checks the boxes for Norma and maybe a whole lot more people. I appreciate your call, Norma. One more right here. Detroit, Aisha in Detroit. Thanks for calling.
Hi, I was calling. I just wanted to let you guys know that I really love your show. Also, I'm a young person in my 20s.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make it known that we really want to hear more about Bernie, the younger generation. We are really captivated by him. He is really speaking to us, especially on things like corporate greed and, the prison industrial complex, which we are very passionate about. I think that you guys should, take a more deeper look at him, and you guys may captivate more listeners to your show.
Bernie has a standing invitation to come on right here. We'd love to hear from him. Let's look at that. Let me bring it to you, Peter Hart. Here he is, the latest poll I'm looking at here. This is an average of polls where Hillary's at 49.3. Biden's at 12 in this poll. Bernie Sanders at 25%. That is a pretty decent showing. What about his candidacy over time, Peter? What do you see happening?
Well, first of all, he has done brilliantly. I mean, when you look at it, he has come in from nowhere. If you had gone to Central Casting and said to Hillary, Let's say you can pick any opponent so that you've got somebody out there. She says, well, I'd like somebody who would be older than I am. Let's make him a socialist, and let's take him from a very small state. And essentially, that's who Bernie Sanders is, and yet when he's out there, huge crowds, people are connecting. He has a definite and strong constituency. How does he wear over time? I think he's going to continue to do well. He becomes a natural alternative to Hillary. Having said that, at the same time, you've got to go back to where the voters are. And what we're finding from Bernie Sanders is he's ringing that anger bell. But the real part of this election that hasn't been talked about is the anxiety bell. And that is more voters are concerned about where they are, how they're going to prepare for the future. It's not just attacking Wall Street. It's the ability to be able to say, how do I get ahead? I don't know that Hillary Clinton has been able to touch that chord as well as she needs to, but I think that's where the voters are going to end up looking. Who's going to be able to connect on that side? Right now, it's Trump and Sanders on the anger side. Who offers what I call both the hope and the reassurance voters want?
Anger versus anxiety. Joe Biden may be thinking he's the guy with hope. And Laura, I want to bring that to you. One more call for Ted in Charlotte, North Carolina. Ted, you're on.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing today?
Okay. What do you see?
Well, I'm a 41-year conservative Republican. My son is 33 years old. He is a school teacher and a liberal. He opened my eyes to Bernie Sanders. Hillary Clinton, who I thought about supporting back in 08 when she was running against Obama because of her principles and her background, she feels that that you cannot change the hearts and minds of people on the right. Bernie Sanders is the one who's doing that. He is changing the hearts and minds of people, and I am supporting Bernie Sanders. I've already sent him my donation. And I think if you had a national primary instead of a state primary, he would win hands down over Hillary right now.
How can you be a 41-year-old Republican conservative supporting Bernie Sanders? I don't doubt it, but just walk us through that.
He's not a socialist. He has social issues. A socialist is somebody who I've got family in Sweden.
Well, he kind of calls himself a socialist.
Well, it's because of his social issues. He's huge on in the environment.
Yeah.
He really is the only candidate who is huge on the environment. A socialist is somebody who wants to nationalize the utility companies, who wants to nationalize, you know, some large corporations. That's a socialist. He is focused on social values, but he is changing the hearts and minds of old 63-year-old codgers like me who have been diehard conservatives who see the difference between a socially minded Democrat and somebody like Hillary, who is just another George Bush, who's just another Trump. They're all the one owned and paid for by the 1%.
Well, he's definitely getting a lot of people's attention. Laura, what if, let's say, Joe Biden does not come in? Let's say Hillary Clinton does really run into trouble over the emails and more. What does a Bernie Sanders candidacy look like as we continue to roll forward toward the general election?
You know, it's always dangerous to make predictions, so, you know, anything can happen. I personally have trouble imagining Bernie Sanders as the Democratic nominee. I think that there is a very strong, very liberal part of the party, and he is absolutely tapping into that. But I just don't know that that's a majority of the party. I think there are a lot of people in the party who view his views as both unrealistically to the left and perhaps on a policy point of view also too far to the left. So I just can't see him actually being the nominee. So then the question becomes, you have a couple different scenarios. Either Hillary Clinton still becomes the nominee. She just sort of limps out of the primaries into the general election, damaged but not felled by the email situation. Or you have a situation where a Biden or somebody else does come in, either in the next month or sometime in the future. I think if she were to truly fall, it's hard for me to imagine Sanders as the nominee, but you know, strange things have happened.
Laura, what about the political logic of a Biden-Warren kind of primary ticket? That's unusual to have a ticket in the primary, but he's sat down with Elizabeth Warren this week. I mean, she's got all the cred on the left. You would be neutralizing somewhat the women's issue. What about it?
Well, I don't. It's hard for also hard for me to imagine somebody choosing their nominee before they've even started campaign. I mean, their running mate before they've even started campaigning. I'm
why not
exactly,
though? Why not?
Well, why would? First of all, I'm not really sure why Joe Biden is necessarily closer to Elizabeth Warren's point of view than Hillary Clinton is. I mean, is Joe Biden for reinstating Glass-Steagall, which put some severe restrictions on banks? Haven't heard that he is. Is Joe Biden for expanding Social Security to enrich benefits? I haven't heard that he's for that. President Obama certainly isn't for that. I mean, is Joe Biden for any of? Is he for Medicare for all, single payer health care when they could barely get the Affordable Care Act into law? I mean, these are the policy differences. So I don't necessarily see Joe Biden as a natural partner to Elizabeth Warren. Yes, they had a meeting, but that doesn't necessarily mean that she's his running mate.
And they can't fit in the same pea pod, these two, Joe and Elizabeth Warren.
Well, we don't know what they talked about at this meeting over the weekend, but this was an actual development. This is something that we could see Joe Biden making some affirmative moves that indicate that he's more seriously considering getting in. Elizabeth Warren has become an arbiter of the progressive wing very quickly. She and Joe Biden do not have a history together. They were not colleagues or in the Senate. They don't really know one another very, very well. She's had a similar meeting with Hillary about 6 months ago, and she meets with Sanders quite a bit. Sanders has become the inheritor in the primary season of the disaffection among the far left for Hillary. What Biden may have been doing in this meeting is simply asking Elizabeth Warren to withhold, to continue to withhold an endorsement. Don't go for it now, because the race may change. He may have been asking for advice. He may have been saying, yes, I see one path to entering would be to try to appeal more strongly to the constituency that's now backing Sanders. Mm-hmm. Please help me do that. He could have been doing a number of things other than angling for a potential running mate down the line.
Boy, it's interesting, though. Jana in Atlanta, Georgia. Jana, you're on the air.
Hi. I just would like to hear what you think about how gender bias plays a role in the way Hillary's campaign is covered and how voters perceive her. It's been pretty well established that gender bias exists in both men and women. And racial bias was really covered with Barack Obama's campaign, but I don't hear many people talk about gender bias with Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Let's pick it up, if I may, with our two female political correspondents here. Laura, gender bias in the press coverage of Hillary Clinton. What about it?
I think there's probably some of that for sure. I don't think that's the major bias that she suffers from. I think that what has happened, because she has been essentially the de facto Democratic nominee from the beginning, that she has gotten an enormous amount of scrutiny way beyond what any of the Republicans really have gotten in terms of every single utterance that she says, sometimes it actually works to her benefit. Her policy positions get more attention. There's been just a lot more focus on her than I think on anybody else. And so that is a lot more scrutiny. I don't know if that's necessarily driven by her gender for the press corps or for sort of the political establishment. I do think there are definitely people who don't like her because she's a woman. There's no doubt about it. And there is, a very well-documented bias, picking apart what her hair looks like, what she's wearing. That's not the kind of thing you see. You know, you don't see people talking about Bernie Sanders' hair that much, and he's got some kind of wild hair. So, there definitely is that piece of it for her. But I think that the larger scrutiny is both earned from what she's done and the decisions that she's made, and for the fact that she has really been out on her own, and therefore the big target on the Democratic side.
Brenda in Newton, Massachusetts. Brenda, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to weigh in. I'm 44. I'm a registered Democrat. I voted for Hillary in the primary against Obama. And, you were talking about it earlier, this server thing. I'm done. I'm out with the Clintons. I'm tired of the dark cloud that follows her politics. I want a fresh start. I think Bernie's too liberal, and I would love to hear what Joe Biden has to say. I'm all done with the Clintons.
So you're open to a Biden candidacy. More than open, it sounds like, Brenda.
More than open. And I think there's a reason that meeting with Elizabeth Warren got leaked. I mean, that would be a dream team for me.
Peter Hart, Brenda, I appreciate your call. Peter Hart, where do you see an Obama endorsement? When and where do you see one falling?
I have no idea. I'll throw that to Ann.
Okay. Ann in Washington, what do you say?
Thanks.
Sure.
This is a pretty tough position for Obama. And like it or not, it's Biden putting him in that position. One way to look at this, I think, is that if President Obama had gone into his first or even his second term, assuming that he could pass the mantle to Joe Biden as his inheritor, that we would already know that, and we don't. In fact, it appeared quite strongly at the closure of Hillary Clinton's term as Secretary of State during the first Obama term that Obama was giving her a de facto endorsement to become the Democratic nominee, that he sees her as the strongest, most durable candidate and carrier of his legacy forward, which is something he's quite focused on. To the extent that we can parse what Josh Earnest was saying from the podium yesterday, I think you can hear some indications that Obama may be leaning more toward eventually endorsing Biden if that's the way it goes. But it certainly was far from anything definitive.
And Anne, what about a little odds making here? Odds of Joe Biden getting into this race at this point, 50-50, 60-40, 70-30? What do you think?
I still think it's less likely that he gets in than more, maybe 60-40.
60-40, that leans toward yes, but just it's going to be fascinating series of weeks in front of us right here. So grateful to all three of you for helping us look out and look ahead. Ann Gearin at The Washington Post, thanks so much for being with us, Ann.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Laura Meckler at The Wall Street Journal, great to have you with us, Laura.
Thanks for having me.
And Peter Hart at Hart Research Associates. Thank you, Peter.
Many thanks.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.